Wow. Thank you, Bergs. Thank you, Jim Carlson.
Perfect song.
Yeah, yep. It really was.
I want to know, are the Bergs...
Are you?
I'm on the middle. I want to know, are the Bergs, like, listening to that and going through their music when they're listening to the speaker? Or does God just do that?
Maybe.
Both.
There's so many wonderful hymns to choose from. There were at least a dozen that we thought, oh, this would be just perfect. And oh, this would be just perfect. And then all of a sudden he says, let's close with a word of prayer. It's like, oh, we got to make a decision.
That is amazing.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Hey, Jim, I want to encourage you. When I first became a Christian, Hudson Taylor's biography was the first biography I ever read. But then when I went to China on my sabbatical, I was staying with Andy and Brooke Cheeley, I got to go to Hudson Taylor's house.
Wow.
And walk around. And it was just the most amazing thing to be able to do that. It was really cool.
Yeah, what a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Jim. That was very helpful for a lot of us who are also struggling with grieving the loss of what we feel like we were put here to do.
Yeah.
Not being able to do it. That's been so hard. That's been so hard through this whole thing, and thank you for your perspective on that.
It's been pretty difficult to get plucked out of what you think is working. And when I read Hudson Taylor's autobiography, I thought, boy, this is exactly what happened to him. And I could identify with Pastor Reeder's comment early on in this pandemic about grieving a loss like that, which didn't resonate with me until I experienced my own loss.
I think a lot of us are dealing with that right now, and it's a very good lesson that you gave us today, Jim. It may get worse before it gets better, according to the CDC this week, so we need to maintain our faith and keep moving forward as best we can.
Hey, I think I see that Olivia has joined. Maybe yep. She's on all the time. How are you, Olivia?
I'm well. How are you guys? Hey. So great to see you.
Where are you?
I'm in Nashville. I just came from my first service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Guess what?
You
can't hide from me.
I'm sorry. We unmuted to say hi, but the TV's playing pretty loudly in the other room with Frank and Barbara in there. So I hope that's not causing problems for anybody.
I can't hear it.
Yeah, I think we're okay. Yeah.
I can't hear it. Yeah. Okay. There's Judy. John, you're becoming a missionary. What's going on with that?
My kids think I look like Colonel Sanders.
I think they're right. You look like
I don't know what look I was going
for. My childhood books of history, you look like either an explorer or a missionary.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we know what your next career is.
Yeah. And
maybe there's a calling here.
An explorer and a missionary at a time you can't even leave the house. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I heard you were having too much fun, and I was like, hello, I joined the service in the morning. I might as well just do Sunday school as well, right?
I am so glad. It's so good.
Yeah, I have Briarwood converts over here, so just, you know, they tune in at the 8 o'clock service.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they got so tired of me saying, you know, at Briarwood, they do this and this and that. You know. In a good way.
Always.
Thanks, Derek. So, but it's so great. We are all going. I was so blessed by the brother that was sharing, and I'm so grateful. We are going through Psalms too, and you know, the week that I've had for me, like with school, all the uncertainties, and you make one plan, then it changes, and then you have plan A to D. But I think the encouragement that we have as believers, more than anything, I feel like I am so filled with thanks to God for that He has favored me to know Him, because I don't know what I would do without Him, like right now. I'm just very ever grateful to God for faith and knowing Him, that He's on the throne. And as long as He's on the throne, I am so encouraged. I know that the world is established. Things will be well. Mm. I don't know how. I don't have to know how. That's the beauty of Christ. I don't, it's not my job to know how.
That's right.
It's just to know that, to rest in Him, you know, just like a weaned child resting in, you know, in Him, knowing that He is able to do much more than I can imagine or think. And, to trust that.
That's great. I mean, that fits exactly, Jim. It really fits what you were teaching.
You said it all.
Hi, Jim.
Hey,
thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity.
Very relevant. So relevant. Thanks.
Hey, John, could I ask Jim a question?
Absolutely. Please.
So Jim, it's Carter here, and as your neighbor, I know that some of that time has gone toward keeping an immaculate yard. I commend you, by the way. And I hear you say that you are reading, but I think there must be some, let's call it active waiting going on. So how would you define active waiting in your life?
Well, first of all, with regards to the grass, we pray every day that it will rain a lot and that it will grow twice as fast so I can cut it twice a week. And that fills 2 days right there. I think on the active waiting, one of the things, and I referenced this earlier, is I get about 2.5-3 hours in the morning before I can crank up my lawnmower before the neighbors say something about it. And what it does is it gives me an opportunity to listen to some of the music that I mentioned. One of my favorites is Jeremy Camp's In the Morning, Give Me Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Fernando Ortega's hymns and hymns and meditations is an album that he's put together. And I just sit and listen to that stuff. And it goes back to Psalms where it says, be still and wait. And I think one of the beauties of all of this is that it has forced us to stop and wait and listen, not just praying, but praying during the morning hours and then just sitting and listening to see how He speaks to us. So that's kind of how I've used my time. I spent a couple weeks going Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I outlined those gospels because I'd never really camped out in them for a while, and I came up with tons of questions, things that came up. And then I think praying specifically for people that I know that don't know the Lord, and more specifically for family members in our extended families that either don't know the Lord or have turned their back on the Lord. So that takes about 3 hours out of every day, and that's the way I've been handling the waiting is filling that waiting time with things like that. And that's been very helpful. And I've enjoyed being isolated with my wife for 5 months. We've really enjoyed each other. And that's been a real blessing. It's nice to live with somebody that still likes you after 5 months. So we've really enjoyed that opportunity to just keep it light and to talk about things in depth and to pray together. And that's been another way of waiting. It's been good.
Did all of y'all hear? It sounded like to me, Jim said he's now got material to teach us for another quarter.
Yeah.
Are y'all all, is everybody?
I heard.
Okay. That's what I heard too.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. There you go, Jim.
Bring it. I heard.
Bring it. We'll be having discussion.
Oh my goodness. There is trouble itself. It's on the call.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you for that. That was really good. And we've all been grieving something. I know Eric's been grieving his disrupted schedule. And so many are grieving our parents that we can't see them. Mm. That's very difficult. And then so many have lost their parents through this time.
Mm.
Very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you. It's, and one of the things that I spoke to indirectly, I guess, is that, you know, for me, this has been 5-6 months. It's really not that long. You know, when I think of Jim Holland and what he's been struggling with, and I think of my mother's cousin who was in a prisoner of war camp for all those years, this is really a short time for me. So I have some good examples around me on how to weather this storm.
Amen. Yep.
Well, I know that this is not comparable to, you know, the examples like Jim and his struggle, but I was having a day, I think it was back in May. I was just overcome with the sudden going into, online with school, and there was so much we had to do to catch up, to keep things going and to hold up and cut off from church and everything virtual. I would find myself so many hours on a computer and thinking, my gosh, I have no connection with people. Mm-hmm. And I was having a cry out to the Lord. And then all of a sudden I was hit, by God's grace. It's like, you know, you've been living as a single person all this time. Have you not learned anything? And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, how have I done it? And I honestly, God gave me a time of reflection. And I ended up finding that, well, this is the advantage, and this is also part of the way of being single and rejoicing in the Lord. And I found that actually I'd already been kind of living in this way without my acknowledgement, or my not paying attention. And God just brought, used again being single, and because what you don't have when in times like this, you quickly think, oh my goodness, maybe if it was like this, maybe if I had a partner, or if I had, but God just changed it for me. And I am telling you, I've never been so rejoicing as a single person, because I know some of you don't, you know, you have to designate space now in the houses because you cannot stand each other. Just kidding. But seriously, I feel like God used, you know, told me through all of that and say, you know, just, you can't be a barren woman in your house as a happy mother of children. Because again, the satisfaction and the provision is from the Lord and none other. And so I found myself encouraged and started kind of communicating with some of the people that I know to just kind of share with me, to share with them what God had opened my eyes up to. And so I've been very grateful in that way as well. That's one way for me, I guess, COVID has brought me closer to understanding, you know, my completeness in the Lord and just the little bit that God has brought me further into finding him as my inheritance and my all in all, in essence. So I don't know whether that makes sense to anyone, but it just made so much sense to me.
That's so good. I felt like I got a double dose this morning. I need it.
Oh, great, Heather.
anybody have a follow up for that? That was, I mean, just so challenged to hear that, because both Jim and Olivia, they seem to have pulled a mission and a encouragement from the Lord, directly from the Lord, probably through times of study, scripture, and just prayer. And I think I've been progressively getting less like that in the last few months. Maybe I'm getting a little bit more back at work or something, but I feel like the last 6 weeks it's been less about that, and find myself more in the fretting just in general about how all this looks. And so it was a real encouragement, really was, to hear, because I very quickly go to, I've spent 40 something years at work with a certain plan about retirement and finances and what life will look like for me and a family at this stage. And I find so much of it doesn't look like that. And I thought that was the promise. Like that, I thought that was the plan and the promise, and that never was. You know, it wasn't the promise. There are other promises that are greater, but I hadn't really thought of it in those terms until the discussion today. I'm going to have to see what I thought the plan was and really connect with this trust factor that God, that this isn't just a plan that, oh, well, just failed. That God has another plan and we can still serve. And as the Bergs saying, we still, you know, let people see Jesus, that they need it now, because people in the world are fretting in the same way without Holy Spirit. So we should look different. But anyway, I didn't mean for that ramble to occur, but just in appreciation for the messages today from all of you.
I was really encouraged to hear too that, Jim, you've been outlining the Gospels, and just, I'm just wondering, you know, we have all this time, Lord, what are we supposed to be preparing for? Not just trying to get through, but preparing for.
That's a great point.
We sure don't know what's going to happen next.
No, we don't.
I have a question. Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead, Olivia.
I was just kind of going to inquire, given what Bonnie just said, because I was kind of in a conversation like that with another sister in Christ. And I said, are you sure that we are supposed to be preparing for something? I mean, is this different than what we always been required for as Christians? I mean, isn't the gospel still the same as it's always been, whether COVID is happening or not? That each day we live it for Christ, and we strive to run the race well. To me, I feel like it's the same.
and what I am called today, maybe as always, maybe what COVID makes me much more aware of is what Jim was talking about. Really, even fervently reach, pray for those who do not know Christ, reach and share the gospel. I know it's required to be, I'm required to be zealous all the time, but during the times that are comfortable, maybe I'm not so much as aware, or I don't engage so much fervently, but these kind of times when I see the loss of life everywhere around the world, I mean, it shows me the urgency of they are, you know, are all the sheep in the fold yet? Not yet, because the word still stands, the harvest is great. So for me, I feel like there's nothing to prepare for. It's the same preparation we've always been called to live, to strive, you know, to run the race well. I don't know, but that's kind of, it's a question and just a thought.
Olivia, I think, I agree with you that we need to be prepared, to speak the truth to people, whether there's a pandemic or not. But I think there's a heightened sense right now, to be prepared for more opportunities. A lot of people are just simply hopeless. Mm-hmm. And we have the answer. And I think we're going to have more opportunities to speak to people at a level that is substantive than we've ever had before, because people just don't really know where things are headed. They don't have any hope. These are grand opportunities to minister to people's needs in a wide variety of ways I don't think we've ever had in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah. Jim, I don't know if we talked about this, if I brought this up. I was on a call a month ago, probably Prudential, insurance company has these massive resources, wellness kind of resources. One thing is behavioral health. Mm-hmm. And they reported that crisis mental health calls are up 800%.
Yes, that's true.
It's like a number you can't almost. So Jim, to your point, the hopelessness factor is acute in a lot of places. So we will have the opportunity to share and to exhibit something other than that hopelessness.
I would agree with that, John. We're seeing that in our state in a tremendous way, and trying to answer that question, monies have been appropriated for that, but it's not, it'll take time for those to get into action. But this hopelessness that you were talking about a minute ago, Jim, and great lesson, by the way, John MacArthur decided to go full bore, and I respect John tremendously, and LA County shut down and joined them from opening, and then Friday a judge overruled that, so they opened. I can send the link to Sam if anybody wants to read about it, but it's fascinating. But he's got about an 11-minute video where he lays out that the time for the church has never been greater than today.
Wow.
Because of the hopelessness. I met with four or five guys that any one of which, several you would know their names, but they're just shaking their head. We've talked 30, 45 minutes at a time, and they're just shaking their head. It's like their true north, their compass is off. They feel like it's Groundhog Day. They're working again, but it's, whatever is, nothing makes sense right now. Up is down is up, left is right. And there's such confusion. And I've spent a good bit of time in Jeremiah the last week, and I'm convinced that now is the time, really back in, you know, 2 Chronicles 7, that my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear their prayers in heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Guys, we have the hope as never before, and look for these opportunities. They're just abundant, but the hopelessness is what I'm seeing everywhere we go. Yeah, we need to do this or that. And that's why I think you may see some efforts here in the state where churches are going to push back on the social distance normatives and open up to higher capacity. John's argument was, look, it's 99.9 and change that you're not going to die from this, but realize this, you're all going to die. So that's kind of the layout that he's going from. And I would have been less apt to agree with that probably a month ago, but I think the absence of believers in church, in community, praise the Lord for us having Zoom. But anyway, I do believe that us encouraging and just being bold to speak the gospel, people just listen, in my opinion, now as much as ever, because they see the fallacy of things and this or that, because they feel like it's Groundhog Day, number one. And, you know, the original joke's what day of the week is it? All of this. I'm just seeing tremendous opportunities with the gospel. And so, yeah, schools, for the most part, will be opening this next week. And so I think pray for that. Most of our state health officials aren't sure we'll make it to October, but yeah. I'm praying we do. So I think we need to power on through this.
Yeah. Amen.
But we need to pray, I believe, personal repentance, prayer, and what Jim's talking about, that time in God's word. There's never been a time where there's a greater need, in my opinion. So.
Yeah. That's very, very true. Anybody else, Seth?
Yeah, I don't want to make a comment. Jim, when you, and this may be a little trite after all that's been said, when you bagged our groceries back in February, I believe, maybe January, Regina and I got in the car and we said, man, that guy looks a lot like Jim Carlson. We knew it was not Jim Carlson in the grocery store. So, I mean, that was precious to me. And our daughter works at Walmart in Campus Outreach in Destin. And that was a wonderful, like a 6 or 8 weeks that she worked there. She met some really interesting, you know, hierarchy of people there with lots of opportunities to minister. And I just appreciate what you did and how you shared that with us. Thank you.
Well, I will tell you this. You ought to see the double take some of the federal and state court judges give you when I take their groceries and take them out of the car.
Well, you're the nicest bag guy we've ever had. You made my
Well, it's interesting the conversations you get into with people when you carry their groceries out. It's amazing what people talk about en route to putting bags in a car. Mm. Incredible.
Anybody try to tip you?
Yeah. The policy is no tips. One guy, the policy is no tipping, and I just tell them, I say, hey, they pay me to do this. It's not necessary. And then some people will insist. It's an interesting dynamic. And I have one guy, he gave me some money, and I said, no, that's not necessary. He says, you don't want it.
You don't want it. That's great.
Jim, did you do, how did you get below the surface with these guys? Do you feel like it was just a time spent with them, or your, gray hairs around them, or was there something you did to, help facilitate that?
I think, as I mentioned, I think if you talk to people about themselves and show an interest in them, some of those, I'll call them kids, have probably never had anybody show a real keen interest in them personally. Okay. One of the things we do at night when I had the duty to clean the floors, we clean them with big machines, but the first thing you do is you go with a broom and you sweep under all the counters to get all that stuff out in the middle of the floor so you can pick it up with the machines. Well, when someone to show me how to do that, I would follow them with the broom and we'd go around the store. Well, we got 15, 20 minutes to chat it up. And so I would ask them, you know, how's school going and what are you majoring in and what are your goals? Where do you kind of end up? And some people just need some encouragement, that, you know, just to keep at it. You know, good for you. Pat on the back. Young black gal is a cashier. She's in dental school down in Florida and she was just working part time for us. And I just encourage her to keep it up, to keep pushing forward. And, I think the real key to connecting with people is, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it wholeheartedly, is unto the Lord and not unto men. People that you work around may not be interested in your Christianity, but they like people who do good work. And when you do things wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, they like you. And that opens up lots of doors. And if all else fails, have your wife show up at the store. And that just opened the door within 5 to 10 seconds. And who would have thought somebody would have asked us about how long we've been married and then disclose that they were having some problems and get the opportunity to share something with them that we received in the mail. All that stuff interconnects. But I think the key to it is addressing them as a person, whether they're black, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. It kind of bowls some of them over. They just haven't had many people interested.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, Melanie. Was this recorded today?
Yes.
Jim, do I have permission to send this or can I get permission to send this to my son? He works with people like this every day. And he's had a lot of great conversations with him from time to time, but I think it would be encouragement to him.
Yeah, it's certainly fine with me.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Tim, maybe when we start going back to Sunday school class, we could all commit to going to the 8 o'clock service. Then we could have Sunday school and then we could sit around and talk like this afterwards.
Yeah. That would
kind of nobody else thought that was a good idea. Russell,
really
look at you and Russell, you're going, what?
No, I think it really has been interesting to me how we, because we always have great fellowship in our class. When our class at the end of the teaching, Judy and I always, we've been a little bit like, if people try to come in and use the room for something, we can be very non-Christian, like, because I think there's so much benefit from the discussions that go on. If you go around, kind of hear the discussions after a lesson, thank you, Holy Spirit, it will be a lot about these things. So I've always liked that, but the Zoom has made it all focused on one. And I think I've loved this.
I'm not sure John Haynes would approve.
Oh yeah. Good point. That's true. We lose all the choir people and yeah.
Oh, that's right. Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not unusual that my idea was terrible.
Well thought out for like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm with you, man. I'm totally with you. I know I missed the Haynes on here, Ken. We need to, John and Jenny, big time part of our class, but him, the Alexanders, really the ones who have to do that.
They do have a 9:30 service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That also takes out Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could Hunter put his computer on top of the organ?
Yeah.
And be in our class?
That'd be a good idea.
Sure.
Wear some earbuds.
John could put it on the podium when he's up there.
You start laughing.
Harry could just go sit down.
Good.
Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen?
It's all about the discovery class.
Yeah. Oh, but if you hadn't been to church yet today, that sermon is fantastic. Oh. Susan was saying when we left church to get ready for this, Susan was saying just when I thought he couldn't get any better, sermon on he ascended on high. Goodness.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jim referenced it, our home there. So I've got to listen. I didn't get to listen this morning with the 2-year-old running around, but we will definitely do it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the encouragement. All right. Well,
it's so nice to see all the faces that I know.
Thank you so much, Olivia. I'm so glad.
I feel like I'm out at the lunch bunch.
It makes all the difference to see you and hear you, Olivia. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's great. I love of this group. I love seeing
you. Thanks to Melody.
Yeah. Melody, we call most valuable player.
Yeah.
So thanks
again, Melody. She still claims Victoria. Melody at least knows Victoria still belongs to the class.
Sure.
She's the best. Got it.
Joan is like, what in the world is she saying?
I know there's something. Next week we have Pete McKenzie, who some of you know. Some of you have heard me reference Pete. He's been a pastor for many, many years, a foreign missionary, also foreign being in California for many years. So he's recently written a book called The Tug of Heaven. About his relationship with his wife who passed away a few years ago. But he's just a great, great guy. Y'all, he played baseball for Auburn. I know that appeals to a bunch of you. But just thanks Melody for that. Just a great, great speaker. It's, so looking forward to hearing him live and in person from California next week. So, look forward to that, guys. And other than that, call us if you need anything, if you know of people in need. Just let us know.
Hey, Tina, I saw your prayer request in the chat. I'm going to copy and paste it into an email and send it to Sam and Beth so that the whole class can be praying.
Thank you. I just didn't want to take up a lot of time, but I appreciate that. That's just something this lesson touched my heart because it's so close to what's been on my heart. And I've just had a greater burden for people who may be sitting at home in my own neighborhood suffering in some way and need that message of hope. And so why am I sitting here not doing anything about it? So.
I saw it. Great idea.
And I had talked to you and Emily about this. It's just me not feeling confident that I have the knowledge or ability, but and stepping out in obedience in fear of my own weaknesses, but I'm going to do it. So anybody who wants to encourage me in any way or mentor me in any way, and Heather stepped up. I appreciate all y'all so much. You have no idea what this means to me each week.
Agree. I feel exactly.
I'm like Olivia. I'm single, and it's hard sometimes to you negotiate life on your own, but we're not alone. So, thank y'all so much.
Right. Amen.
And Tina.
Absolutely. It's a great group.
Yeah. I had also, I think, we got to pray like for this, the schools. I think Briarwood is starting next week or this coming week. The schools are opening. And, we have started, also over here, and we have challenges. Hospitals agree 1 minute and then next minute, now we were just starting.
a couple of hospitals said we can't bring in students, and I mean, it's just it's kind of complicated. But I just really, I really still believe for me, I guess because I talk to like people in Uganda and Rwanda, and I encourage my colleagues here that honestly, with what we have here, we still have an advantage and we can work with. It's unusual. It's going to be hard so much. I feel more really sorry for the students. I mean, I was talking to some of the Christ Presbyterian Academy teachers. They had a prayer, and you know, how do you teach school-age children? How do you tell them to wear masks? I mean, it's so hard. I mean, we gotta figure out. These are people that need to be reassured, affirmed with love, with touch, with, you know, I mean, socialization is part of everything, yeah. Every part of growing up, you know, for whatever, even for college students. And having to advise my student on Zoom is an advantage, but my goodness, Lord, grant me understanding. And how, I mean, I love my students when they come into, you know, to get close, and to, they open up and they tell you there are scary things they can't tell their parents, and help them through understanding life and college community and all of that. And how are we going to do that, especially in a time like this, which it's, I mean, they are affected in so many ways as well. And so we just have really to pray. I feel like the church, we have so much advantage because, again, we have God on our side, and we can really help direct other things, because, again, God is for us, and other people can't call upon him necessarily. We can't call upon him. We can stand in the gap for the other people. So I just pray for the schools as they open, the teachers, the parents, and the students. I mean...